Hi, this is Janet Gallen introducing a wonderful person today on Love Letters Live. And I know he is because I met him just a second ago, and I can see by the smile on his face that he's got wonderful things to say, and he said he was going to tell fantastic, interesting things. So, Terry Ray, about you.
Hi, Janet. How are you?
Hi, dear. Well, you walked in, and I said how good you looked. And you said you were growing the beard for a movie role this weekend, and I asked what it was, and you started to tell me, and I said, "No, wait, do it now."
Right. I never have a beard. This is my first attempt at this scruffiness, and it's itching me to death.
Oh.
But I'm doing a little short film for a friend of mine, Jason Stewart, who's a wonderful actor. He was just in Birth of a Nation.
Uh-huh.
It was really fantastic, and he's doing a short about a dad who's dying and comes out to his gay son is also being gay. And I'm playing his...
On his deathbed, he's
on his deathbed.
And he's lived a whole life...
In the closet. Never really lived his life. Always didn't have a great relationship with his son because they, I think, probably was jealous of his son living the life that he wanted to live.
Yes.
And I just play the hospice worker, which is a fun little thing that to help my friend out. And I wanted to look different. I thought, I'm just going to grow a beard, see what happens.
Oh, that was your choice.
Yeah.
So what do you know about hospice workers when you said that? I mean, they're angels.
They are angels. They are completely angels. I did a part once where I played a nurse in an intensive care unit for infants.
Oh, my goodness.
And I loved that role. I mean, like, the baby was in an incubator during the play and stuff, and it was...
What was the play?
Oh, it was so long ago.
Oh, that's okay.
Oh, it was a great play, and I didn't think of the name of it.
That's okay.
Anyway, but it got great reviews in the Times and stuff, but it was a wonderful role. So this sort of reminded me of that. I thought, I'm going to play that kind of caregiver again.
Well, talk about you for a minute earlier and childhood, and when did you know you wanted to act, and how did you know you could, and what was your path?
If you asked me at 3 years old what I wanted to do, I would have said an actor.
Really? Now, how did you...
Mixed with archaeologists. I wanted to be an archaeologist.
Yes, okay.
I don't know. You know, my first memory is I went to the movie Mary Poppins.
And you were how old?
I was three.
Oh, so that was... Okay.
Yeah, so I went to that. My mom took me to my very first movie, and I saw that, and I was transformed, but I also knew who Dick Van Dyke was. I knew that he was on that TV show, and he wasn't the same person here. So I'm like, I figured it out at three. I'm like, why is he two different people?
You were able to reason.
Yeah, and she said, because he's pretending. And I'm like, that's what I want to do.
So you saw him on the Dick Van Dyke show.
I knew he was on the Dick Van Dyke show.
Is that what you knew him from?
Yeah, and then I saw him on
Mary Taylor Moore, which breaks my heart.
I know.
Yes. Okay.
So but now, seeing him as Bert and Mary Poppins, I'm like, that's not the same person.
How clever of you.
So I'm like, I want to do that. And that's my first memory of that, of, you know, the possibility that you could...
Did you utter that out loud?
I think so. I remember I asked the question, you know, how can he be that person too? And he's like, you know...
Or did you ask the question out loud, can I be an actor?
Oh, no, I just assumed I was going to be. And I just never had seen a play until I was in it. And I sort of forced my hand. My first play was when I was five, and I played the Ugly Duckling in The Ugly Duckling. And I never looked back. It just kept going.
Where were you raised?
Ohio.
And so there was a children's theater or something?
No, there was nothing. That was school.
Okay.
And I just sort of like pushed my way. And then like in fourth grade, I decided I was going to just do on my own this puppet show about the Three Little Pigs, but I did it Chinese style. So
which
I did.
Means what?
They all had pagodas, and they had Chinese accents, and they were favorite sons, and fortune cookies were involved. And I did it, and I didn't have enough hands to do all the puppets, and so I had to have some girls do the hands. But I did all the voices, and the teachers were like, "What?" So they made me do it in everybody's class.
Oh,
and
wow. Then this—so you were a hit already.
I was a hit, but I didn't know it. Like I was. This was fourth grade, and then fifth grade. The fifth grade teacher above me. There were two, and one of them was so mean. I was terrified of her. And on the recess, I was like, "Oh, please don't make me have Mrs. Miller. Oh, please, next year I don't want to have Mrs. Miller." She came out to me and she said, "It's all set. I got you." And I'm like, "Oh no!"
She wanted you.
I dreaded it all summer, and then the first day of school in fifth grade, she handed me a script and materials and said, "You put on this show." And so it was, I didn't even have a desk. I had like tables and crafts, and I skated through fifth grade as my own production office.
Okay, so when she gave you that, you loved her right away, or you realized you had misjudged?
I misjudged, yeah. She was still stern, but she loved me, and she just was like, I'm going to let this kid
That's
do what he wants to do.
Stern.
Yeah.
I mean, she knows, oh my goodness, yeah. Didn't she recognize something? Okay, so after that.
I just kept going. I did a lot of, my little town was Grove City, Ohio, and it's near Columbus, mm-hmm. and we had a community theater called Little Theater Off Broadway. It was very off Broadway, but it was on Broadway in Grove City, so that's off Broadway. But I did those things, those shows, because my high school teacher, I hope he's listening, he wouldn't cast me in a single show because he said my voice was too high and I would never be an actor.
Oh.
So every time I auditioned, he'd go, oh, Terry, you were good, but you'll never be an actor.
Oh,
your
you
voice
were good,
is too high.
But, uh-huh. Uh-huh.
So he just tried to crush me. And I decided, okay, I'll go to the community theater. And I did that instead.
Is he still living?
He is.
Right.
And
I have a thought later.
He came up to me at a restaurant a few years ago and said, oh, I'm so proud of you. You're an actor. I'm like, I wanted to just tell him off, but I let him skate. I didn't say it. But he did. Another teacher saw me in a play and said, why aren't you in the high school plays? And I said, because Mr. Yeah. I'm going to say his name. Mr. Mackey said I could never be an actor because my voice is too high. And he said, well, we'll see about that. So then he cast me. But Mr. Mackey made me do the entire play. I had to talk like this
goodness.
With monotone. So that was that. And then I went to college and got a degree in theater, and I've been doing regional theater and writing and
okay,
acting.
So your parents were pleased as punch your whole growing up life?
Are you kidding me?
I'm just pleased as punch listening to you.
My mother was, like, always optimistic, and she still is, bless her heart. And my parents were divorced way before I can even remember them being married. Mm-hmm. And my dad would show up at theater and sit in the front row and never say anything, but he showed up. And then I guess in his own way he approved, but that there wasn't
showing
much
up.
A conversation about it. Yeah.
Showing up. But you said your mother was optimistic. Was that
she
like,
still is. Yes.
Yeah, still is. That you will make a living and be able to take care of yourself
yeah.
and survive.
Well, I have been.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
but I think that's what I think that's you hear from a lot of people, you know, my parents wanted me to get a teaching degree and,
yes.
you know, because they're scared that you will starve to death.
I know. And I have, you know, danced along that line, but I'm still here.
Wonderful.
And, you know, I just, and so my mom is kind of, I think she's just learned to just love and not let herself worry to death about it. I mean, she does, but she doesn't.
Right. Okay. That's as close as you can get to doing if you're a good mother.
Yeah, yeah.
You do and you don't.
Right. I know she worries, but
and you
she
don't spew it.
Right.
Right.
Right. But always so supportive of everything.
Yes, that's wonderful.
And proud. So
okay.
Yeah.
And so go ahead. So you were in college and you got a theater degree and then what? I want to know how you got here to LA.
I did some.
And what you've been doing every day.
Yes, ever since. Well, let's start. I had a head of hair when I moved here. Now I don't.
Oh, how cute.
I gave this town my hair.
Okay.
No, I did regional theater for several years.
Good either way.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I worked at a theater in Tennessee for about a year. I worked in the South and did theater. And then I had never been west of Arkansas, and everybody I know moved to New York. But I thought, I always pictured myself since that 3-year-old boy living in California. So I loaded up a car that I had at one time left burning on the freeway, but it didn't burn completely up and still ran. And I loaded that car up. And I started driving here, and I got stuck. This is a good story, actually. I got stuck in the worst blizzard in the world driving here. And I, the freeways were closed. I left Amarillo, Texas, and, every freeway ramp was blocked with cars stuck.
That's terrifying.
Yes.
Not the blizzard. The ramps being stuck.
Oh, you couldn't get off. And on the radio it said the freeway was closed, but I could not get off. And so I kept driving because there was no other option. My gas gauge didn't tell me how much gas it was broken. My windshield wipers were broken. And I'm driving, and then I can't tell if I'm on a road or not. All I see is white, and I know not to stop, and I keep driving. I just keep driving. Why? There wasn't any tire tracks. There was nothing. Literally, I had no idea where the road was, and I finally saw a bridge.
Isn't that just a perfect parallel for the romance of your life.
Yes, it is. Okay, well, come to think of that. Yes. Okay, yeah, I did not know where the road was. And I saw a little bridge, finally. This is hours and hours, and I thought, I'm going to run out of gas any second because I have no idea how much gas is in there. And I saw a little bridge, and I'm like, well, there's a road where there's a bridge. And I get there, and there was a police officer there, and he said, what are you doing on the road? And I'm like, tell me how to get off. I am very happy to get off. How? And he said, there's a little town. I was now in New Mexico. I had crossed the state line, maybe on a road, maybe not on a road. And he said, there's a little town up ahead. And I started driving toward that little bitty light, and I got stuck, and I had to roll out my window, crawl out the window, and walk towards that town, and I fell in some kind of a hole. I was buried alive in snow, and this little voice in my head just kept saying, relax, just relax.
I'm going to go down in history as the most insensitive thing ever. I'm laughing so hard, I can't.
No, I started to go to sleep, buried alive in the snow. And then I'm like, wait a minute, that is totally the wrong thing to do. And so I started trying to swim. I didn't know which way was up. And I came out of that hole, whichever, what kind of hole it was. I made it to that town. They rescued me. Later, they pulled my card out. I met amazing people that became lifelong friends.
It's amazing you didn't meet Alice in Wonderland at the bottom.
She might have been there. She might have been kicking me. But that's how I got to L.A.
Wait. So you got out of the hole, and you're in this little place in New Mexico.
San Jose, New Mexico.
What did you do? I'm so interested in survival stories.
Oh, this was a survival story. This is a good story, actually, because if I tell you the whole story, oh, my God, you'll know me so well. Okay, well, so we get into this gymnasium. Filled with people that were stranded, truckers and things like that, and they had opened up their school. San Jose had like 300 people in it. Tiny little town off the old Route 66. And then the next day, I was stuck there for several days. The next day, this couple came, and this girl lady popped up next to me. She said, can I play? I was playing Trivial Pursuit. They had fetched my car, and I had a Trivial Pursuit game in the back. And these poor people had no idea how to play Trivial Pursuit. They barely spoke English. And I'm like, this is the only game I've got. So, you know, I'm trying to kill time. And she's like, can I play? And I'm like, yes! And so her name was Fran, and her husband's name was John. And they were restaurant critics that were eating their way across America as they moved to Santa Barbara. So we hooked up and became fast friends, and we decided to follow each other the rest of the way, which meant that I was going to eat at all these Mexican restaurants with them. Here, this person had never had anything stronger than Taco Bell. And I'm going to this hardcore Mexican stuff, and they're telling me what to order. They're giving me the most spicy things on the menu, and my stomach is flipping. Every day we could only go like 100 miles because the weather, the roads were so bad. And then it was my birthday, and I'm stuck on on my birthday still. And we're driving, and we're going to another Mexican restaurant, and I'm like, my stomach, I can't do it. I got to go to the bathroom. There was no bathroom. I was on a freeway. There was not a tree. I'm like, the road had like holes, 8-inch holes of potholes in the snow, you know, where the trucks had gone, and you just, you know, jar. And I'm like, I will stop.
That's not good for your bladder.
No, it wasn't the bladder. It was the stomach. It was everything. And I was like, I can't. I cannot go stop by the side of the road where there was nothing to hide behind. There was no civilization. And I'm like, give me a rock. Give me a tree. Give me something. And I hit a big hole, and I crap my pants. And I'm like, my goodness. I have just crapped my pants. And
there's a lesson here, by the way, for all drivers going on long trips. You should always carry like a huge bath towel with you that in an emergency, and I know because never mind, you can wrap around yourself or the other person when there's not a tree.
In
the trunk.
Right. I didn't.
Next to the flares.
Oh, my God. Okay. I don't know these people well enough to tell them that I just crapped my pants.
So what do you do?
And this is my birthday. Did I mention?
And
so
we wonder why your mother's worried about you.
So we get to this Mexican restaurant, which I can't dare eat a bite. And I'm like, normally they just go in and I meet them. I'm fishing around. I've got all my clothes. I'm going to put my clothes. I'm going to throw these clothes away. Yes. I am humiliated. I'm, you know, fortunately I have vinyl seats. That's the only thing I can say that's good. And then there was only one parking space in that parking garage, and they get out of their car, and I'm like trying to fuss around looking like I'm busy, and they're like, knock on my window. And I'm like, I can't roll the window down. And I'm like, go in, I'm inside. They're like, knock on the window, I'm gonna tell you something. And I'm like, God. And so I finally, a parking space came, and I had no choice but to open the door and get out. And I had my coat around me, had the clothes under the coat, and I just opened the door and went, I don't feel good, and walked right past them and went into the bathroom and took the top of the tank off and gave myself a bath and threw away my clothes and said, I can't eat this food anymore. Please don't make me. And we became fast friends, and I traveled the world with them. I went to Africa and Iceland and Hawaii. So that was all from that.
Oh, my goodness.
So that was a long story. Sorry.
Oh, I'm no longer part of this show. I can't even talk. Okay, so you made it to Los Angeles.
Yes.
On your own with the same car.
Same car.
What about the car burning on the freeway?
How did that happen? I was going to, I'm going to take over while Janet has a little cough.
No, it's okay.
Okay. She's good.
I'm good.
Okay. So, that was another great story, but I, was going to, the airport to catch a plane to go to an audition, and, there was snow, and people were honking at me, and I'm like, why are they all honking at me? And so I pulled over, and they were like, there was flames coming out of the back of my car, and underneath the bottom of it. And my instinct was to run away because I think the thing's going to explode. But somebody started throwing snow on it and put the fire out. And I called my mom and said, my car caught on fire, and I have to go to the airport, and it's on the freeway. Help! And these kind people took me to the airport, and I just left my car there.
Oh, so you were close enough to civilization at that point.
Yeah, so I didn't know if the car would work, but I eventually made it to that audition, though I had to take a plane, train, and automobile to get there because everything stopped because of snow. More snow story.
And then you got to California.
Yes.
What was the first thing you did here? Did you know people?
I didn't know anyone. The first thing I did was I auditioned for an improv group called...
I'm always curious about details. You got here. You had to find a place to live or a roof over your head for a few days.
Yes.
Okay. So you knew how to do that.
I did have a friend who lived in Anaheim.
Okay.
And so she hooked me up with a guy that lived
somewhere. Okay. I just
wanted to
know how these things work.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I had, for 2 weeks I was covered, and I got an apartment with a guy whose last name was Moron, which should have been a lesson. Then we lasted a month, and he moved out and stuck me with all the bills.
And he was a moron.
Right. And it was like the Grinch who stole Christmas. There wasn't a paper towel left in that apartment.
Oh, that's horrible.
Yes. Yeah, so.
Oh, my goodness. All right. So you started getting work?
I got a job as a room service waiter, and I was doing this improv company with Matthew Perry from Friends. He was just a kid back then, and we were all doing our thing. And so I was making friends from that group, and then I got on a game show, and Scrabble with Chuck Woolery, and I won $14,000, which changed my life.
Wow!
I got rid of that car, which at this point wouldn't go up a freeway ramp; it only could go straight. And I lived up a very big hill, which was an issue, but it changed my life. So I started doing extra work, and I got my SAG card. Out of sheer determination, because back then you had to get a line to get your SAG card, and you couldn't get a line unless you had a SAG card.
I know, it's just insane. That was always an insanity about this town.
Yeah.
I used to wonder about that.
Yeah, so I had never seen an extra get a line, but I was determined to be the one who got one, and I did on a movie called Elvira, Mistress of the Dark. You know Elvira?
The sexy... The TV show?
No, it was a movie.
I remember her on TV when I was a kid.
Yeah, she did... no, not Vampira.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Vampira, yes.
Elvira.
But I remember Elvira.
Yeah, she's a takeoff of Vampira.
Right.
Yeah. So I was in a crowd scene, and they were burning her at the stake, and then they had a little stake for her dog, and they told the crowd to chant... Burn the witch, but they were really slow with the chant. They were going, burn the witch, pause, 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 burn the witch, pause, pause, pause. I'm like, I'm going to go for it, and I'm either going to get my SAG card or I'm going to get fired, but something's going to happen. So in between the pause, 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 I screamed, burn her, and a little dog too, and I got my SAG card.
Oh my goodness, that's so bizarre that you have to do something like that, but how fabulous.
Back then, yeah.
Yes.
Now you can do it through vouchers and things like that, but back then you had to have a line.
My goodness.
Oh. Back in the old days.
So you're busy and you're working, and you've been here for how long now?
I've been here for 30...
Oh,
my God, I just had my anniversary. My anniversary was Monday.
Wait, so you've been here for how long?
I've been here for 31 years.
I would have guessed you were 31.
I really like Janet. Yeah, no.
Oh, I'm so shocked. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I have to sleep in pickle juice just to keep going. But, yeah, I've been here for a long time, and now I... What's happened for me is I now write and create my own stuff.
Oh,
that's been the big transition. So I'm very happy doing that, getting to create my own projects. So
wonderful. And you're obviously earning a living, so you have the something to do. I mean, you can take the time to do that. You're not starving.
I'm not starving, no. But
Your mother will want to know that.
Yes.
Okay.
It's always a challenge when I'm not starving.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
I see you have friends and you have a whole life here.
Oh, yeah. This is my world. Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. I'm good. Don't worry about me, y'all.
I'm glad you said that. Just wonderful to hear all this. I have not laughed so hard in a week.
Oh, that's sweet. Oh, that's just, goodness. Yeah, I got stories. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Well, let me ask you something, because you were talking about the teacher who said, first of all, the fourth grade teacher. Do you ever write letters? I've got a historical assignment for you, if you feel like doing it. Since you're writing your own material now, try this for me. Because love letters.
Yeah.
Written letters. Do you ever write letters? Have you ever?
Oh, yeah. I used to write letters, for sure.
To friends.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And get them all somewhere.
And my grandmother was a huge letter writer. She wrote me all the time, and I would write her back.
Okay,
but
good.
She would write always. She always wrote letters.
Do you have any of those?
I have them all.
See, whenever you ask people that,
mm-hmm.
the answer is, yes, I have them all, of course. And when you look at them, her handwriting does what?
Oh, I love it. It's
brings her right next to you.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I love it.
Love letters. It's such a huge world, and the variety is endless. And I think when I hear stories like this, when I hear stories about Miss Miller and Mr.
Mackey,
perfect opportunities for a love letter.
Huh.
Is Miss Miller still alive?
No.
Okay, does she have children?
No, I don't think so. She died during my school year with her.
Oh.
So she died a long time ago.
Oh, okay. So I'm just wondering, like what I would think would be really satisfying would be to write to her a letter anyway and send it to the school principal.
Oh,
the present one.
Yeah.
Stick it in the archives or something and just, okay, as a thank you. But also, Mr. Mackey, a love letter to people who have stood in your way and you have surmounted every challenge.
He taught me that I had to fight.
There you go.
Yeah.
So that would be, I think that would be a thrill for him to receive. And kind of a forgiveness, you know?
Maybe. I think he still does teach. You know how people seem so much older to you when you're in school. But then I saw him at that restaurant and he didn't seem that old.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, in a way, he did me a favor because it was never easy. And he always, like, if it had been easy and I got to do every lead and every high school play or whatever. But I never did. I was always rejected.
Right.
Yeah.
So wouldn't that be a nifty letter to write?
It would be.
Thank you for standing in my way. And here's what I got from it.
From telling me I couldn't possibly do it.
Yes, you made me realize I could.
Mm-hmm. Or I had just proved that I could.
Uh-huh. Something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's
and
a good
then,
idea.
Of course, there's to your parents.
Yeah.
And, you know, okay. I hope you'll write a couple.
That's a good idea.
Because it is part of your own history.
Yeah.
Documented in your own hand. And somebody will keep them forever, just like you say you have them.
That's true.
Yes.
Yeah, that is old school. And it's always such a treat to get a letter.
Because
it's so rare now.
I know. Because you get, you know, pleas for money and ads and...
But somebody, when there's actually ink on a paper that somebody, you know, did that with their own hand.
Like a bag of diamonds sitting
on
I know.
There. Even when you get a Christmas card, it's like somebody actually signed it versus just printed out their names.
Yes, in
like,
block print.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wishing you joy.
Yeah.
In block print. I know,
but,
there's so
but I can't sign it. It's too much. That much joy is a lot of work. Just take a little bit of suggested joy.
How much you're
going to
get
from me. I only got so much to give.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I want to thank you for doing this with me. Let me ask you something. If you have more stories that you ever feel like telling and sharing, will you come back and do another one?
Oh, God, yeah. I have stories.
Because those stories, although they are hysterical, are really fabulous lessons in not just survival, but somehow maintaining a sense of humor and a decent cheer over it.
Yeah.
Swimming out of the snow hole, you know. And there's got to be that. Well, if he can do it, I can do it.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, and don't ever crap your pants on your birthday.
Oh, yeah, that's a whole other.
No, you don't want to do that.
Oh, my goodness. Well, but if you do,
you'll get by.
That's right. That's right. You live to tell the tale and, you know, go out to dinner another day.
Yes. And now I love Mexican food, by the way.
Good. I do, too.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, thank you. I'm just gonna go home and wonder why it feels like I've known you all my life.
Oh, it's been so fun. Thank you.
My goodness. Okay. Well, until next time, this is Janet Gallen saying goodbye and...
Terry Ray.
Saying...
Hello.
See you later. Yes. Okay. Thank you, honey.